I wonder if you've been a part of a nativity play this Christmas. Maybe you were in one. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild who was in one. Maybe you got involved in making a costume for a nativity play. But if you go to any nativity play and ask any youngster, the one thing they will all know, without exception, is something about the inn. Which was? There was no room in the inn. Yes, it was fully booked. There was no room at the inn. And yet for Luke, the fact that there was no room at the inn is almost a kind of throwaway line, one of those details that's there to tease us with no real explanation. Well, we know Bethlehem was busy that night because the Roman Empire was taking its census. Everyone had to return to their tribal town, their home town of origin, to be counted. And for Mary and Joseph, it was a long journey. And of course, when they got there, everything was fully booked. What are we going to do? This is a disaster. Why didn't Earth didn't we go online before we set out? But actually, it's not a disaster. In fact, it's a sign. Did you hear right at the end of that reading? Verse 12, the angel says to the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, it's a pretty strange sort of sign. So what sort of a sign exactly is it? Well, I just want to think of two headings. I want to think about its location, the location of this sign, and also the vocation that it demonstrates. Location and vocation. And actually, location's the easy bit in a way, because Bethlehem was a town normally about half the size of Stow-on-the-Wold, so quite a small town normally, but of course now overcrowded by all these returning folk, staying with their relatives, camping out, maybe lodging in guest houses, and in amongst all the hubbub, in between all the family reunions and all the kissing and all the rest of it, a frightened teenage mum goes into labour and delivers her first child. And it's a sign. See for yourselves, the angel says to the shepherds. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour is born. But where? Where to look? You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. No doubt there would have been other babies there too, but what's the chance that there would be more than one newborn baby that particular night? And what's the chance of finding more than one newborn baby being nursed in a cattle trough because there was nowhere else to go? So there was no need for the angels to describe to the shepherds the appearance or the address or what colour baby grow that particular baby was in. And in fact, I doubt they had any trouble finding the right baby. The gossip would have spread round Bethlehem about this poor girl. They rushed down into town in response to the angel's message and found the baby straight away, because his location would have been clear to all. But that's not where it ends, because there's another element about this, which is about vocation. We have to say, why on earth was the Saviour of the world born in an outhouse? I wonder if you enjoy those Who Do You Think You Are programmes on the TV, the ancestry stuff. Maybe like me, you've been tempted to explore your own ancestry as a consequence. Now, Alison's family is full of interesting characters. My forebears, almost without exception, are listed as labourer. Although actually there is a rat catcher somewhere amongst them. So I know my ancestry. I very much know my place. Luke takes trouble in this story to establish the ancestry of the baby Jesus. So there's a whole paragraph explaining how it was they came to be in Bethlehem because of the ancestry of this young carpenter called Joseph and the compulsion of a Roman census. And then there's another whole paragraph about the angels proclaiming that today in the town of David a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Well, you know, the people have been waiting a very long time indeed for their Saviour, for their Christ, for their Messiah. He was a new king in the line of King David, at least that's what they were expecting. That king who led the people in a golden era 1,000 years before. And so they were watching out for him to rescue their national pride. And the prophets had said he would come from Bethlehem. So is this the baby king, the new hope of Israel? What, and he's born in an outhouse? Really? For this baby, the location of that birth and the vocation of his life were inseparable. The location, a grubby little stable, was certainly unexpected. But what about his vocation? Well, it was hardly a glamorous start. And that, of course, is the whole point. This Messiah, this Christ, would overturn the expectations of all who were awaiting him. Israel wanted freedom and prosperity and the restoration of national pride. Isaiah had told them what to expect. You remember that famous line we had at last night at the carol service? He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The Messiah was to bring peace, justice and righteousness, but not how they were expecting. Not by the might of arms, not by political skill, not by a show of power. For his vocation is underscored by his location. He's to be a very different kind of king. He comes to bring peace, justice and righteousness, but it's peace in our hearts, justice in our communities and righteousness in our lives. Born not in a palace from where he could show off his wealth and power, but in a stable among his people in the midst of those he came to save. For his kingdom is not a piece of land. No, his rule is the kingdom of the human heart. In our gospel story, Joseph knocked hard on the door of the inn, probably feeling just a little bit desperate, hoping the innkeeper would have room in the inn, at least for his young wife and for their as yet unborn child. That same child who would grow up to fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah, the role of the Christ, to be the long-awaited king who would die a terrible death at the hand of mankind, yet rise again in glory to take up his rightful place as king of our hearts. The same king who, some years later, himself knocked again, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will eat with them and they with me." For this is a very different sort of king. He was born in an outhouse because there was no room at the inn. And today he knocks to ask once again for room, but not in the inn. Today he knocks to ask if there is room for him in your heart. Let us pray. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Lord Jesus, you knock at the door of our hearts, and we pray that you would give us grace to open that door and allow you to come in, to be prince, to be king, to be ruler of our hearts, ruler of our lives, ruler of our eternity. For your glory we pray. Amen.